Yeah, I've just been reading about the decision of the city to begin staffing management to drive the Accessa buses in a limited capacity starting Monday. And then, can you talk a bit about the union's response to this?
I found out after we offered the binding arbitration and whatever the mayor pulled off with the province, if you can believe that, and having Ken Zwicker appointed as conciliator, which never happened, if I'm understanding the tweets from Frank Colbert, the deputy premier, that no one has been appointed from the province other than the original conciliator, John Greer, concerns me. It seems to me that the employer is looking to sway the PR back to their side by putting management on Accessa buses. This is a grave concern for the union's position due to the fact that these people are not qualified to care for the most precious people in our society. In the last 16 days of the strike, the accident claims manager, or investigator, excuse me, got in an accident moving a bus from one line to another at Ragged Lake. That's not on city roads, that's on a inside a garage, inside a building with no one on the bus. What's going to happen when these supervisors start driving mobility challenged and people with disabilities around? I'm seriously worried that something bad could happen, an accident, a chair not being strapped down properly, a quadriplegic, and the driver doesn't have his rearview mirror positioned properly, that he sees someone's head flip back. And that person starts to suffocate and doesn't get the proper assistance that they need. I'm extremely concerned, Miles, to be honest.
Can you talk a little bit about the training that goes into being an Accessa bus driver?
Absolutely. All bus operators, regardless of what division you're going to work for, have to take a basic operator's training course, which is 6 weeks long. After 6 weeks, depending on what division you go into, you do a mentorship program with Accessa bus. The mentorship program, which was initiated by the union and the employer about 6 years ago, or excuse me, 4 years ago, talks about that you go out with an experienced driver for 10 days and you do all the work the driver does, but he's there for assistance to help you do things that aren't covered in training. How to deal with certain clients, how to have a certain level of compassibility to deal with the sick. Or the disabled, where to drop off certain people at what times, because you can't leave these people on the side of the road. They have to be dropped off to a caregiver and then picked back up at a certain time, and you then become the caregiver. How to work the ramps, how to tie down wheelchairs. There's how many different examples of different wheelchairs are out there. I wouldn't even begin to fathom the different models and styles of wheelchairs that if they're not strapped down properly, could damage the chair or the straps may not work to industry standards. So that's my major concern with the Accessa bus division. Our contract, the collective agreement that expired in August 31st, has in there that all people before driving a bus will be guaranteed to get a minimum of 3 days training. I believe the employer complied with that. They gave these people 3 days training, but they never gave them the mentor program. There wasn't enough time. They would need 2 more weeks to do that. I have called the Department of Labor. I told the Department of Labor that I'm concerned under the Occupational Health and Safety Act that inexperienced, unqualified people are driving these buses. The Department of Labor stated to me that as long as they have the proper classification and license, they're able to move the vehicle. The other part of the equation is if they receive a complaint about something that happened on one of these buses, then they would investigate every complaint. So let's hope that everybody gets where they need to go Monday with no issues and there's no complaints. Because I'm seriously concerned. I really am. It bothers me a lot. You know, if the employer says that Accessa bus isn't equal to conventional transit for operators' pay, but they can put a manager making $65,000, $75,000, $80,000 driving it, but they can't make an Accessa bus operator equal to conventional operators' pay. That's pretty sad.
Now, it has, I mean, you've mentioned it yourself that this is a PR move potentially by the city in order to look good, really. What kind of, I mean, Why not pick up on that yourself, though? Why not? Is it possible in any capacity to put union drivers back onto AccessiBus? It would look good for, the public at large.
Yeah, Miles, I hear you loud and clear, and I understand the position, is, and it's a great question. The concern with that is, who do you put? Do you put the most senior person in the bargaining unit that's not qualified because he could be a mechanic or a conventional transit driver? Do you put the most senior person back in AccessiBus? Do they get paid, or does that money go back into the union? And then what does that do for the other people that are still on strike? We're all one union, and when we go on strike, we all go on strike. And none of us work driving for this employer until we're all back to work. And that's what makes us one union. That's what makes us such a strong union, is that we all understand that and support that. The public, for some reason, thinks that I'm going to stand there and I'm going to barricade in the buses and not let them off the property. And I want to make myself crystal clear, and I reached out to our police contact throughout the whole strike, as well as the manager of corporate security, Doug Mosier. And I sent an email to Brenda Zimmer, who is our police coordinator, on this. And I said to Brenda, if she has an opportunity to speak to Doug Mosier with the upcoming AccessiBus decision for Monday, the union's position is that we understand the law. The law is that we're not allowed to block anybody if the police tell us to leave. The union is prepared to hold this strike line. We're requesting that the employer obey our strike line. We're not looking for any violence or any issues. We're just looking to hold our line as we did for the last 16 days. What does that mean? So I said in an email to Brenda and also to Doug Mosier that I am prepared to have the 50 AccessiBus people only blocking the bus leave, because it's their work, no one else. If the employer agrees that they will hold the bus without any issues for 10 minutes. So the example is, if the bus is scheduled to leave at 5:30 in the morning, the employer will have the bus at the line at 5:20. We will hold that bus up till scheduled departure time, which is 5:30, and then that bus will leave as scheduled. We will not be following the bus once it leaves the compound. We will not be interfering with the bus with the public on it. That is not our issue. Our issue is that I'm concerned that it's safe, the safety side of it. I'm concerned that the employer is doing it on day 20? I'm concerned that the employer is doing it on day 20, day 21. They could have done this from the beginning, and they have with dialysis. The employer rented unmarked white vans. They put security personnel in these vans to pick up dialysis people. The union did not picket this. If it was a medical issue, the union would not picket it. We understand that people have the right to basic health needs, and we will not stand in the need of the way of that. What we offered was bonding arbitration, so not only the 1,600 people that are registered with AccessiBus can go to doctor's appointments, but the little old lady that lives in the corner that that fights every day for her independence can walk with her cane, walker, or for that matter, a wheelchair, and get on any one of our accessible conventional transit routes and go to her doctor's appointment. She won't have that ability to do that through AccessiBus because she's not a registered user, and that's not fair.
It's actually a rather generous position, considering you are still on strike legally, to simply hold up the buses for 10 minutes. That way, you can simply, whoever's catching that bus, can simply prepare for it to be 10 minutes late.
And your Miles, you're 100% right, but we took it one step further and said to the employer, give me your schedule. And if your bus is due to leave at 5:30 or 5:45 or 6 a.m., then bring that bus out 10 minutes before it's ready to leave, so it doesn't affect the schedule picking up the person.
Hmm.
I can tell you that Doug Mosier, the head of corporate security for Metro Transit, contacted me. He couldn't believe that I came up with that idea. He was more than willing to accept my offer. He thanked me continuously. He offered me a copy of the schedule for Monday that he will be forwarding to me on Sunday. It just shows that, that some people in management can work with the union when needed.
Well, I hope this this all works out quickly for you. And I know you're busy, and thanks for your time here.
Thank you. And once again, it's the public that needs to get engaged. They need to call the mayor and call the counselor and not suggest arbitration, demand arbitration. If the employer is so adamant that they have a good case, and I read the Auditor General's report that talks about overtime, and nowhere in that 55-page report does it say one thing about scheduling or rostering. It talks about a spare board and people working 6 days a week. It talks about sick time, and it talks about management. It's management's sole authority to schedule overtime, not the union. So why is the union being blamed for overtime when the employer, the mayor, and council are the ones that are booking concerts on the Commons, are booking Canada Games, tall ships, special events for this city, and they put on buses to do that? That's all overtime, and the employer has to realize that that's not the union's fault. That's their fault.
Thanks for your time, man.